Environmental activists have long warned about the dangers of fossil fuels. Now the British business journal The Economist is joining the chorus. The cover of its current issue reads, "Coal, Environmental Enemy Number One." The issue also opines that markets could be a potent force for greenery if only greens could learn to love them. Vijay Vaithiswaran is the energy and environmental correspondent for The Economist, and he joins me now from London. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Hello.
Tell me, how did coal make it onto the cover of The Economist as environmental enemy number one?
First of all, more than any other fossil fuel, it's particularly carbon intensive and it's so much more abundant. It's very clear that we can burn all of the conventional oil and conventional natural gas that's in the ground and still meet very aggressive targets for climate change. But if we burn even part of the coal that's spread all over the world, then we're in real trouble. The final reason is the most important one, that's human health. There's no dirtier fuel out there, frankly. Coal is nasty stuff. And the current ways that we burn it are very dirty, particularly inefficient, and they do a lot of harm to human health.
How can market forces help to reduce the use of coal? The stuff is cheap.
It's a good question. Many people imagine that markets are fundamentally the enemy of the environment. First, nobody that believes in markets and free markets would allow coal to get a free ride the way it does. For example, in a lot of rich countries, Germany and Spain are good examples, they give cash to coal producers to encourage them to produce more coal and to lower the price. Now, that's outrageous when you think about the harm that it does to the environment. In America, too, it's a more implicit form of subsidy, but old coal plants don't have to meet current environmental regulations. So when one talks about market forces, I would say, first of all, get rid of the subsidies and the free ride. The flip side of that, I would say, that's still not enough. And classical economists would argue you need to get prices right. That means rolling in the environmental and human health harm caused by all kinds of fossil fuels. In some countries in the world, particularly in Europe, they impose carbon taxes or various kinds of taxation on top of the market price, and that's very specifically meant to take account of the harm that it does.
Let's look a little closely at how the U.S. handles this. How does the U.S. Stand in terms of our free trade, our free market economic approach vis-a-vis coal?
This is the great irony. America is thought of the land of the free and the free market. But when it comes to environmental issues, America is very much a Stalinist economy. It is fundamentally a command and control, top-down, dirigiste regime of environmental legislation that started in the early 70s with the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, much cherished, hard-fought environmental laws that have done a lot to clean up the air and water in America. The point, though, is it uses a very, very blunt instrument: mandate, litigate, regulate. Those tend to be the buzzwords of environmentalists in America. And in fact, what that means is that you're imposing much, much heavier costs to achieve the same thing. You're imposing technology mandates, for example. You're telling everyone in a particular industry, let's say, you all must adopt this very specific technology or else we'll sue you or throw you in jail because we want to achieve a certain kind of environmental good. There are more efficient, smarter ways of achieving the same environmental good using economic incentives, using markets, for example, in tradable permits, giving property rights. And this is the area that America actually lags the rest of the world in.
Let's just say, for the sake of the discussion, that at the White House, somebody walked in with a copy of The Economist. President Bush looked down and saw that you guys had declared coal as environmental enemy number one. And he said, boy, maybe they're on to something. How could President Bush satisfy both those concerned about the environment, environmental advocates, and business, which has a lot at stake here?
If I were in on this conversation, I'd say, Mr. President, this is your chance to save yourself on the environment and on global warming. Now, we all know this is an area where he's gotten beaten up after walking out of the Kyoto Treaty on climate change. Here's a plan that I put forward that says, be pragmatic. Coal is going to be part of the future for decades to come, especially in poor countries. On the other hand, it is still environmental enemy number one. Technology can help get us from point A to point B. That is, the ways of using coal in a lot cleaner ways. These are technologies that American companies, energy companies, are pioneering. This will be actually the greatest gift that he could give to the coal industry and the energy industry, is to throw them a lifeline and show how they can be compatible with a cleaner energy future.
What response to your article has your magazine received from its readers?
Well, I can tell you, it's stirred up quite a hornet's nest. The environmentalists on one side feel slighted because other environmental problems don't get the top cover. I've already gotten various letters from various sectors in the energy industry saying, you know, this is unfair, you're picking on us. The technologists have written in saying, well, your ideas on how you can use coal, these are too simplistic, you know, don't you understand? This is very complicated, it's going to take a long time. Fundamentally, I think that when you make a provocative argument like this, I'm only pleased that people on all sides are throwing tomatoes at me. It means I might be onto something.
Vijay Vaithiswaran is the energy and environment correspondent for The Economist in London. Thanks for taking this time with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, charges that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is using outdated science to regulate sewage sludge. You're listening to NPR's Living on Earth.